Hi, welcome to Microsoft Build 2017. My name is Gabriel, and I'm a developer in the Windows networking team. In this video, I'll show you how you can write your first NAT adapter driver. So this is the second in a series of four videos about our network adapter class extension. And in this one, I'm going to cover a few basics about NAT adapter. And then I will jump in Visual Studio and show how you can take a WDF device driver that doesn't know anything about networking and turn it into a NAT adapter. And I will also show a few additions we made to our debugger extension to support NAT adapter. So let's start with the basics. NAT adapter is the result of years of collaboration between the WDF and the networking teams to bring the full benefits of WDF to network adapter drivers. So let's see what are a few of these benefits, how NAT adapter works with them, but more importantly, how you can benefit from them. Take WDF's object model, for example. It has great features you can use to make your code look simpler, be less error prone, and it's almost impossible to leak resources. The main object we are adding is the NAT adapter, but we have a few others to help you with networking specific tasks. For the control path for OIDE handling, we have the NAT request queue and NAT request. And if your hardware supports power features, we have the NAT power settings objects to help you. And for data path, we have the NAT TX queue and NAT RX queue, which are going to be covered in the third video of this series. Another great thing about WDF is how it exposes PNP and power transitions to your device driver. Take the power up sequence, for example. It is a well-defined sequence of events that take you from one state to the next. They are all synchronized in respect to each other, all serving a very specific purpose. And if your device is in low power and you want to know what should happen next, you just need to find where it says, restart here if device in low power, and go from there. Now let's see what this picture looks like when we add NAT adapter. As you can see, we have a few new events, and they all have the same properties, principles, and guarantees standard WDF events have. They are synchronized in respect to each other. They serve a very specific purpose. And there's even a new restart point specific to your data path. Now, there is a very interesting implication to the diagram I showed in the previous slide. It means your data path is power managed. So you don't need to synchronize your low power transition with your data path. Packets will only flow while your device is in an operational state. Think about the spin locks you can throw away just because of the simple guarantee. And speaking about power managed, your control path also has this feature. Whenever an NDIS protocol wants to talk with your NAT adapter, it's going to send an OIDE down. NAT adapter will then wrap that OIDE into a NAT request, and it will make sure your device is in an operational state in D0 before it actually dispatches that message to you. And as I said, if your hardware supports power managed power features, we have the NAT power settings objects to help you. So wake patterns, for example, and these protocols will send them down, and NAT adapter will store them in the NAT power settings objects. Then whenever it's time to arm your device to wake, you can just query that NAT power settings object for what are the things that I should enable now, and then do the work and go to low power. There are no OIDEs involved on those operations. No additional software state is required from you. So now that I talked about a few of the good things that NAT adapter and WDF can do for you, let's go to Visual Studio and see how we can turn a WDF device driver into a NAT adapter, and also how to create a NAT request queue to handle OIDEs. So this project that I have here is very similar to the default WDF template you'll find in Visual Studio. The first thing you need to do is go to your project properties, driver settings, a network adapter driver and say that yes, we want to link against NetAdapter. And then I made a couple of changes in the .env file. First, I'm saying that this device is a NetSetup class, not a simple anymore. And then in the NT section, I added a few networking specific keywords. And that is one of the principles that we have now. Things that do not change during runtime or ever should go in the .env file instead of in your source code. Then we need to include our netadaptercx.h header file. And now we can go to our driver.c. First thing I want to call attention to is the driver entry. As you can see, that is like this is what any other WDF device would do. It just creates a WDF driver, and there is no additional work required specific to networking. The next thing is to see what we need to do in the device add callback. There are two things we need to do here. First, we need to tell WDF that the device we're going to create is going to use NetAdapter. And then we need to configure and call NetAdapter create. The way to do the first thing is by calling NetAdapter device init config. This always has to be the same thing you do in your device add callback. And then after we have created our WDF device, we can declare the NetAdapter config struct and call the init macro on it to provide the required parameters. Now the parameters here are the event callbacks that we add in the power-up sequence diagram. And then we can use the WDF device and the configuration to call NetAdapter create. Now notice how I could have provided an object attributes here. After all, the NetAdapter is just a WDF object like any other. And also notice how easy the error handling is. We just return a status code. No cleanup necessary here. So now let's see an example implementation of the three callbacks that I provided in the NetAdapter config init. The first one of them is the set capabilities callback. This is the place where you tell NetAdapter what are the properties of your adapter. As an example here, I'm just setting the link layer MTU size to some value. And the other two are the create TXQ and create RXQ. These are specific to data path, and they are the place where NetAdapter tells you it's time to create your data path queues. You're going to learn more about this in the third video of this series. And that's all the lines of code that we need to add to create a NetAdapter. A few lines and three callbacks. And that's it. Now let's see how we can create a net request queue to handle OIDs. So now we are back in the device add callback. We declare a config struct and call the init macro on it, very similar to what we did in the NetAdapter case. And this is a very common pattern in the WDF world. And here I'm providing a query OID handler. Now with NetRequestQ, we can actually provide different event handlers for different types of OIDs. So I could have provided here a set OID handler as well. And then we take the config and call NetRequestQ create. Again, error handling, very simple. So just a few lines of code to create a NetAdapter and to create a NetRequestQ. Next, I will show how you can use NetAdapter APIs to implement Wacom Magic Packet. Wacom Magic Packet is about the simplest power feature your driver can implement. So the implementation should be really simple. Let's see how that works. This project is very similar to the one I had before, but I made a few additional changes. First, I'm setting a power policy callback to let WDF tell us when it's time, when the system is going to low power and it's time to arm the device to wake. I'm also providing a device context type because I will have to store the NetAdapter handle on this context later. And then I tell WDF that this device can wake the system from a low power state. And here's the place where I get the context from the device and store the NetAdapter handle on it. So far, there is no networking specific code here. All of this is WDF, and all of this has documentations and resources on the internet for you to look at. So the next thing we need to do is tell NetAdapter that we support Waco Magic Packet. And the place to do that is the set capabilities callback. So we declare a power capability struct, we call the init macro, and then we say that we support NetAdapter Waco Magic Packet. And then we actually call the API to set this capability. Now it doesn't matter if you're doing this here in the set capabilities or later in another place, you always call the same APIs in the same way to express the same thing. And lastly, in our power policy callback, we need to get the device context from the WDF device and use the adapter handle that we stored there to get the power settings object. And then from the power settings, we get what are the wake patterns that we should enable to hardware in this power transition. We check if we should enable Waco Magic Packet or not, and do whatever is needed in hardware to do that. So again, just a few lines of code to implement Waco Magic Packet, and most of that wasn't actually networking specific. Most of that was WDF APIs. So now I'll show a few additions we made to our debug extension, NDiskD, to support NetAdapter. NDiskD ships its R debug extension. It ships together with the Windows debuggers. So the way to see networking information on NDiskD is by typing NDiskD.NetAdapter. This target system is running our Realtek PCI sample. And here in the summary, you can see that it already shows you the NetAdapter and the WDF handles. But we have a more information link we can click to see more NetAdapter specific information. So we can see the handles again. We can see what are the callbacks that we set when we create a NetAdapter. We can see data path information. We can see the queues that our adapter created. We can see the ring buffer. We can see what are the callbacks that we provided. And all of this is going to make more sense once you watch our third video in this series. And we can also see information about the net power settings object. The net power settings is not an object that is available to you to use at all times. You can only use it during power transitions. And the debug extension will tell you if now net power settings is available or not. All right, so those were the demos I had to show you. One of the goals of NetAdapter is to enable you, network developer, to use the proven WDF APIs and features, so that you don't spend a lot of time dealing with stuff that is not really networking. And you can focus on what really matters, how your driver sends and receives packets. So remember, this was the second in a series of four videos about NetAdapter. The next one is specifically about data path. And we have other ones that talk about the history behind NetAdapter and what are our plans going forward. NetAdapter API documentation is available on MSDN. If you are an NDIS developer and you want to port your driver to NetAdapter, we have a porting guide to help you on this task. We have a fully featured Realtek PCI driver available on GitHub. So definitely go get that code, play around with it, and maybe even change it to work with your hardware. And also, we have NetAdapter source code on GitHub. Yes, the actual netadapter.c source code is there. So if you are debugging something, or you're just curious to see how we do things, that is a great resource for you. And remember, this is a preview version of NetAdapter, and we want your feedback. So if you have something to say, send an email to netadapter@microsoft.com or leave us a message in our GitHub. Thanks for watching.